My father sat in a quiet corner of the bar, holding a gin and tonic in one hand and a lighter in the other. His eyes crossed as he brought the flame to his cigarette, puffed once, and went back to staring. He had been staring all night, looking out through the feathery darkness beyond the bar where dozens of young women bounced and twirled, rallying to and fro in daubed-on clothes. He could see the dance floor in the middle distance, slightly elevated toward an already low ceiling. The sounds of Shannon and Culture Club bounded and rebounded. Then Girls Just Wanna Have Fun came on, and the effect of the first note on the crowd was like spray from a hose. A friend of my father's, a Coke wholesaler with a pencil-thin mustache, threw him an apologetic look and jumped into the fray. Anthony Edward DeCopel was known for his on-the-job sanity. If he was working, he was happy and healthy, drug-free, focused, flowing, time bouncing off him. He had enough hair on his chest to float a gold chain. His belly was trim, and when he walked, he swung his legs in loose semicircles, exuding a practiced magnetism, a put-on air of immortality. Even sitting down, he pumped out so much animal energy that my mother used to say he had shark's blood. Immune to disease, fearsomely alive, buoyant so long as he kept moving. It was the close of the 1984 pot season, the harshest of my father's long career. It was October, and he was back in Miami, tired and disappointed, his body quiet, all his energies turned inward. He was angry at himself for letting some incipient late-night needs throw off his judgment. Embarrassed about a botched stash house and a car crash. Worried about security cameras that must have caught him running through the lobby of a hotel with a box of money. All 18,000 pounds of weed had been sold, nothing lost, no one arrested. But he had broken the pirate code, the bylaws of his life, nowhere written down, but known by all. And he had 3 months to sit still and stew about it. My father was also expected home. He had a work-life conflict, a problem so mundane that it was hardly a problem at all, and might even be a blessing. But it dragged my father into a state of furious resentment. He loved us, would die for us, but go home to us? Sometimes it was asking too much. So he sat in a private club in Coconut Grove and continued to drink, reaching the snapped lime in the bottom of another gin and tonic, not even looking up when a familiar smell drifted into his range. When a joint burns, it gives up the ghost of every day it grew in the equatorial sun, every bright and gorgeous ray of sun, every grain of soil. The smoke bounces off the back of the throat and envelops the nervous system, washing through the smoker like a warm tide. From the mid-Atlantic states to Maine and as far west as Colorado, people at that very moment could smoke my father's weed and feel their socks loosen and their scalp tighten and all the stress of the day wash clear. Usually, my father loved to picture the end consumer, the best man with the full coat pocket, the college kid with the stash in his glove compartment. Even the high schooler, yes, the kid on drugs, the mop top with the kinks on the stereo, a towel stuffed under the door and a can of Glade in his hand. 6 million joints, but no freedom for the man who sold them? My father didn't think that was fair. He thought of his partner Bobby, a Brooklyn garbage man who retired into marijuana sales, out making Manhattan his playground. He thought of Charlie and Willie, his contacts in the Caribbean, near the bottom of a Heineken, their hearts like steel drums, feet stomping seashells at some dockside bar. Finally, he thought of the everyday gawkers outside on South Bay Shore Drive, people in rental cars nosing out of the lot at Dinner Key, teenagers in mohawk haircuts, kid siblings in Mickey Mouse ears, moms and dads in pleated shorts, striped shirts, and leather sandals. People with such lives looked south on Bay Shore, and through tired eyes they saw it, rising brightly above a series of thatched outdoor bars and a glowing cobalt swimming pool. The Mutiny Hotel at Sailboat Bay, the scene of my father's sulk.